and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. That's never-ending retro dialogue, just trying something new there. So it's never-ending retro dialogue.
Never-ending.
I bet we could get an echo
retro
in there.
Retro dialogue.
Of the people. As always, I'm Jordan.
And am I still Doug?
I don't know. We're
trying something new.
We're trying something new, but also, if the rules of the thing apply, I don't know if you're Doug.
Oh, that's true. Man.
I hear that man is the warmest place to hide.
I'll stick with Doug for now.
Still Doug.
Yeah.
Doug. So today we are going to be talking about our illustrious June, month of June in review. I feel like there's a lot going on in June. It's really hot in Ohio. But today it's kind of like overcast.
Yeah.
Like it's going to storm maybe.
Yeah. Possible pop-up showers. The heat wave is thankfully coming to an end, I think. Tomorrow and Tuesday, as we're recording this on a Sunday, y'all, are supposed to start cooling down. And then by the end of this month, we should be back to normal temperatures.
Very good, because it's too hot to exist.
Yeah.
As the immortal Smash Mouth once said, might as well be walking on the sun.
Might as well. There we go. I was going to say hot fun in the summertime.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Okay.
Well, either way, it's hot.
Ooh, there we go.
It was so hot that I wore shorts yesterday, and I never wear shorts, so just to illustrate the point.
I will say, in the near, 10 years almost?
Yeah.
That we've known each other, I don't think I've ever seen you wear shorts. And so when I was walking up to the Minicon yesterday and trying to find you, I was a little worried because I didn't see you. Yeah. And then there you were.
Yeah. Well, I should say that those shorts are also American flag themed.
Yes.
So.
Yes. That also threw me for
a
loop.
Yeah, I bet so. I knew that it was going to throw everybody off because they're like, first of all, he doesn't wear shorts. And then like the time he does wear shorts, they're American flag themed. They're just like...
Yeah.
Throwing everybody off there.
Way to go, man.
I did it for the US of A.
What a prankster.
So
what a prankster. So how's it going?
It's going all right. You know, I think the thing we'll open up with is I just had a birthday yesterday.
You did.
So I've been contemplating aging.
Yes.
And what's really funny is I turned 32. And I kept telling people, yeah, this is my 32nd birthday party. And there was this confusion that I thought I was talking about. My birthday party was only going to last 30 seconds. And I was like, oh, I see the confusion now. So, yeah, I turned 32 yesterday. And I obviously don't feel very different because you never feel, day to day, you don't really feel different. It's more in the long run.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I've just been thinking about getting older and what it means and what I want to do with my life, which hasn't changed, but I just want to buckle down and do it more now.
So the normal existential dread.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's definitely existential. But, you know, it's probably not as bad as when I turned 30, because when I turned 30, I was really like, what am I doing with my life? I need to try all of these things. And now I'm kind of settling down and being like, okay, I've got things that I need to do and things I can kind of put by the wayside for now.
Yeah. It gets easier. 40 wasn't near as bad as 30.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
30 for me was worse than turning 40. Maybe it's because you just give up.
At 40 you give up?
Well, talk to me in a couple years when the big 50 comes along.
Okay,
and then maybe I've got a different story.
Yeah. We write our own stories.
There we go.
Here.
I like that.
So
yeah.
But yeah, so turned 32, that was pretty fun. Had a whole day, we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it was hot day.
Oh, yeah.
Hottest day I've ever been 32.
Yes. For now,
today is nothing compared to that.
Correct.
So I baked. I thought I was going to have a heat stroke a little bit.
It was thankfully there was a breeze.
Yeah. A merciful breeze.
Which also wreaked its own kind of havoc.
Yeah.
It was a bittersweet breeze. It was nice to have, but man, it was rough keeping everything anchored on the tables.
Yeah.
But, overall, day.
Hot day, but I will say I had all my friends and family around, so.
Yeah.
And even people I didn't know, so.
What better way to spend your birthday?
Yeah, that's all you can ask for. I feel like the older you get, the more you appreciate that kind of thing, unless you really care about, like, big birthday events. Like, mm-hmm. Although yesterday was an event, we'll talk about that in a bit, but yesterday was more about being around the people that, you know, I love and stuff, so.
Aww.
Yeah.
Having yourself a Garfield moment now.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what happens when you turn 32. You get all sentimental. You get mushy in the center.
You get mushy. You're like the Grinch. Your heart just grew 10 times the size.
They call the ambulance. My heart's too big for my body now.
Oh. Well, let's start at the beginning. What have you done this June?
Well, let's see. Early June, what did I do? I've mostly been reading and writing a lot.
Okay.
I've still been on my Stephen King kick. I'm hoping that this obsession lasts long enough that I can read him during spooky time in October.
Ooh,
because then he'll have extra power for me.
Yes.
And I've been writing a lot of stuff. I'm proud to say that as of the time of this recording, I have reached a halfway point in my first draft of a novel.
Nice. Awesome.
I was on fire for a couple weeks there, but I've kind of cooled off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get to the second half and you're like, God, I still have half to go. So, I'm kind of, but I've been writing different things. Like, I've been writing short stories. And it's really funny because yesterday somebody pointed out to me that if I didn't have depression, I would be unstoppable. Because they were like, you put out so much stuff. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. And they're like, you just don't feel that way because you have depression. And they were like, if you didn't have depression, you would be unstoppable. And I was like, you're right. So that was pretty funny, I thought.
What a way to put it in perspective.
I know. Because I was giving them a copy of Dandy. And they were like, this is yours. You made this. And they're like, if you didn't feel that way in your head, you would be like the Hulk, basically. And I was like, whoa. So I'm going to try that mentality out for a minute. But I have, what else did I read? We'll talk about that in a minute, because I have a whole thing about Father's Day.
Oh.
So, so I don't know. Early June was pretty much just me writing like a madman and reading like a crazy person. What was your early June like?
My early June, so Godzilla Minus One came to Netflix.
I still need to watch it.
And oh my gosh, dude, come on. So Sharon and I watched it up in the loft one day. I forget. Oh, the kids were building a desk.
I don't know why, but I was going to say an ark. They were building an ark.
The kids were building an ark. Ooh, why not? The kids were building an ark. We'll go with that. We can edit the other stuff out. So we watched it. And then, half of our D&D group got together that following Monday, and, two of them had never watched, they hadn't watched it yet either, so we watched it again.
Good.
So, proud to say that it still is absolutely stinking amazing.
Yeah.
I cannot recommend Godzilla Minus One enough. It is just such a great movie. I love it. Absolutely love it. Haven't done a whole lot of reading this month. I know I did a bunch last month. This kind of assignment that I'm on, my days are ever changing. So I haven't quite got used to my schedule yet. So I've done no writing. So the store that we're trying to do has sat vacant or idle, not vacant. Vacant. It's set idle for a few weeks now. Still working on it in my head, so it's just a matter of learning my new schedule and enforcing myself. I'm on vacation this week, so nice. I'm hoping to do some writing to get that going again. So I don't think we watched any new movies in the theater. Did we? Oh my gosh. I don't think we did.
Yeah, I didn't either. Did anything really come out?
I don't think
that
so.
That was worth watching?
I don't think so. I'm trying to think what me, Sharon, and Maddie went to go see. I thought we went and saw something, but maybe that was last month. But, Father's Day was awesome. The kids got me two John Prine albums. So,
oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
So I'm a big John Prine fan. Yeah. So they got me... I can't remember the name of the album now, but it has The Speed of the Sound of Loneliness on it, which is one of my favorite songs of his. And then they got me In Spite of Ourselves, which is a album of all duets.
Oh, cool.
So he chose a bunch of his favorite country songs and did duets. I think there's 9 different women country artists that he does duets with. On it, an amazing album. I think there's 1 or 2 original songs on there. One's In Spite of Ourselves, which is an absolutely great song if you've never heard it. And then we did, there was Marysville Pride.
Yeah.
We had Marysville Pride. Me and Maddie went to that and hung out with a friend of hers and some friends of mine for a while. That was great. It was a great event. I think this is the 3rd or 4th year now.
I think it is the 3rd or 4th year. That's crazy.
Which and this year was even better than the others. It seemed to go so smoothly. So that was awesome. And then the following weekend, Maddie and I and a group marched in the Columbus Pride parade.
Nice.
with the Union. So
very cool.
So yeah. So. That was a hot day, too. That's when the heat wave really started.
Oh, yeah.
It had started earlier that week. It was like 90, 92, 93. And we sat there for like, I want to say it was 2.5-3 hours before our section of the line we in actually started moving. So it was rough. But it was fun. Big crowd. It's absolutely amazing when there's a point in the parade. Have you ever been down there?
Not to Columbus.
But there's a point on it where when you get to you kind of walk up an incline and you can look down behind you and see everyone that's behind you and you can see everyone that's in front of you. And then when you get to the bottom of that, when it levels back out and you look up and you see everyone that's above you. And then see everyone that's below. It's just really cool. It's a neat, it's just, you know, thousands and thousands of people there. It's just amazing. So it was, that was a good time. I don't think there's much anything else that I've done in June besides.
Right. Well, we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. But I wanted to say about Father's Day, we took my dad to the book loft.
Yes,
he had never been to the book club before.
Awesome.
Which is crazy to me because he's lived here for so long. But I didn't know he was. He might have been talking to you, actually, and mentioned that he'd never been to the book club.
Yes.
I overheard him say that.
Yeah.
And that's how I learned that he'd never been there. So we took him there, and he absolutely loved it. We went on. Not on Father's Day, but the day before Father's Day, I think. And, we went kind of late for some reason. Like, later in the afternoon. Can't remember why. He loved it. He actually bought 3 books. And that is about 3 more books than I've ever seen him buy. Because he's always using the library, you know?
Yeah.
But he kind of separated from us, so I don't know how his experience was, but it was really cool. But I spent most of my time in the fiction and the horror section,
mm-hmm.
and I found the Paperbacks from Hell section. Have I ever told you about this?
The book you read, Paperbacks of Hell. Yes.
Paperbacks from Hell, though.
Yeah.
Has led to a lot of those books, or several of those books, being reprinted.
Oh, you did not tell me that. Okay.
So, in the book loft, they have a section of horror paperbacks that are strictly promoted from that book, Paperbacks from Hell.
No kidding.
And let me tell you what, man. That was a hard, hard, hard decision for me. Because I was like, there's so many great-looking cult B-movie-style horror books here.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking and I'm looking. I eventually got one called Prodigy of the Adder.
Okay.
Because I thought it had the coolest title. And it's about a vampire who murders these ladies of the night, we'll call it. So, but interestingly enough, when I was reading the intro, so the intro was written by a guy named Will something. I can't remember his name. I'm sorry about that. But he writes a horror blog called Too Much Horror Fiction. So he helped with the book.
Okay.
Paperbacks from Hell. Will Erickson, I think. And there was a lot of... It was maybe a 3 or 4 page intro. So there was a big proportionate amount of the intro was taken up by talking about Kolchak the Night Stalker.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, okay. So I'm reading it, and there was some contention, because this book was written in 1965.
Oh.
There was some contention from the author and his son that Kolchak plagiarized, because now Kolchak was originally a novel,
mm-hmm.
and Kolchak, they said, plagiarized parts of this book. And I'm not going to lie, some of it is pretty Kolchak-y. So I'm like, okay, girl. But I was really surprised to read about that.
That is interesting.
So, which, speaking of which, I'm going to say this on record so I remember to do this tomorrow. But they are republishing the original Kolchak book as an illustrated novel on Kickstarter.
I was just... Okay, I see where you're going. I was actually going to bring that up. Okay.
Okay. So yes. I'm going to kickstart that when I get some money in my when I get paid or whatever. Because I've never read the original book.
Nor have I.
Yeah, it's like 50 years old, and I'm sure it's out of print. So that's why they're kickstarting it. So
that's interesting. I want to say at one point, now that you're saying that name, Prodigy of the Adder, I want to say at one point I owned a copy of that.
Really?
Or my dad, more to the point, my dad did.
Yeah.
And, because boy, that sounds familiar. I'm going to have to go through and look through those books now. But that may have been one I ended up giving up after he passed, and I just couldn't keep all his books.
Right, well, and it's not necessarily a book that you would look at and be like, this is classic literature.
Yeah.
But it is actually quite good. The only thing that throws me off is there's no chapter breaks. So it's just one long story.
Oh, like, Jesus.
Yeah.
You gotta have chapter breaks.
I know.
How are you supposed to know when you stop to eat? Come on.
I
know.
I just wait. I just get to the end of a page that has a period on it. Because a lot of them don't. They're just like, keep going, and I just read for a while.
Oh, good Lord.
But there were a lot of other... There were maybe 10 other paperbacks from hell. And I'm just like, oh, God. How do I choose? The other books I got... was, I haven't started reading them yet, but I got a book of American essays, contemporary essays, because as we'll talk about in a minute, I've started to write essays. And then my philosophy is because I work at the library, I need to find something weird at the book loft that I can't get.
Because mm-hmm.
you can get pretty much anything from the library these days. So you can't get paperbacks from hell, I don't think. I looked up a couple and I couldn't find them. But the other one is a book of short stories. Japanese detective fiction.
Oh.
Yeah. And I found that because there's a lot of really good short story collections at the book loft.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, but man, what's the weird one? Where's the zing at? And I found that and I was like, that I'm not going to find anywhere else. So I haven't started reading it, but I got it to do some research for further Dandy short stories. And I was just like, this will give me a new perspective of solving mysteries from another culture, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that should be interesting.
Well, you could also... Have you ever thought of having Dandy travel?
He did travel in the last one, The Night of the Living Dead. He went to England.
Oh, I haven't read that one
okay,
yet.
He does go to England, but okay. I would like him to go... England is pretty close to...
Yeah.
Culturally, yeah. I would think, to America.
Yeah.
So it maybe after reading some detectives... Some Japanese detective fiction. Yeah. I'll put him in Japan because
Dandy Down Under.
Dandy Down Under. I like that. What? There's enough creatures in Australia to kill you that you don't even need a monster.
You don't need a monster. Yeah.
Land of the Spiders.
Oh my Lord. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was pretty interesting, and it was actually really hard for me to choose Because I didn't want to... I spent like $40 there.
Yeah.
And it's only $3.
Yeah.
So it was really hard for me to choose what to buy. Because there were so many good, like... But there was a lot of really specific short stories, like mysteries from authors of color. I was like, okay. Mysteries of the Victorian Age. Okay. Women mysteries of the Victorian Age. Okay. I was like, what in the world? This is just getting more and more specific. So it was really hard to choose from. And then there were like a bunch of horror compilations and stuff. And Stephen King has his own section at the book loft.
Yes, he does.
And I didn't buy anything from him because I was like, I'll just get it from the library. But I almost wanted to buy the Gunslinger, the Dark Tower series, because they had all of them packaged together.
Oh.
But it was like $150 or something. Yeah. And I was like, well, I'm not really in a place where I can do that. So... Plus, I'd be hard-pressed to do that with any series, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, so the other one I got was a book of contemporary essays. And as I mentioned, I've been writing some essays. I started writing some essays. I find the form very difficult because I'm so used to writing fiction that it's a lot easier for me to just make things up than to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you just have to write from your what you know.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the rule of thumb, I think, anyway. But obviously, I don't know anything about, like, werewolves and vampires from first-hand experience, so that never stopped me from writing Detective Dandy. But writing something that you know is, like, personal to you is a little harder,
mm-hmm.
to me, anyway. I'm sure it comes naturally to people who write essays all the time. But I've written two essays, and I have a third one that I'm going to write about being a hyper-obsessive about things.
Okay.
Because I'm like, you know, this podcast can attest. This podcast is a record of the things that I get obsessed with every month. So I'm like, oh, why can't I just be... I want to be like... I'm going to talk about like how I can't just be like a normal guy and get like obsessed with like baseball scores and stuff. But like, no, I have to be obsessed with like Victorian mystery women writers.
That are left-handed.
Left-handed only.
Yeah.
Yes, that's the caveat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I can read a book that's typeset by a computer and know if you were left-handed.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but essays are kind of fun, though, because you can write about anything.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I wrote was about the library, and that one went over really well. I actually was giving that away yesterday, so...
Oh, is that one of the ones that you had that you were...
Yeah, it was free, though, so I ended up giving them all away.
Nice.
Because I DIY'd it myself. I made it myself.
So. DIY'd it.
Yeah. So, yeah, so it's been kind of interesting to write. And it's also, like, a different part of my brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it feels like a different... It feels like an underdeveloped part of my brain because I feel, like, weak.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like... It feels like you're lifting weights. And, like, my fiction part of my brain is like, oh, I can lift, like, 200 pounds.
Gotcha.
And then, like, the nonfiction part of my brain is like, wimpy. So, I gotta work that out.
Yeah.
Because I want to write more nonfiction.
Interesting. So. You could talk about, well, there's so many things that you could talk about.
Yeah.
Your love of obsolete writing machines.
Exactly. I could write a whole essay about typewriters. Yeah. I could write a whole essay about typewriters on a typewriter.
On a typewriter. Yeah. Exactly. That's meta.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Wow. I showed you. I used my word processor.
Yes, you did.
And it was fun getting back into it. It was, I know I've shared the story. It was actually my grandmother's word processor that my grandpa bought for her in, I can't remember if it was my senior year of high school or my freshman year in college, but it was around 1995. So it's one of those.
Yeah.
Because as we've covered quite frequently, I'm old. but they went with a word processor instead of a computer because they thought it would be easier to operate.
Yeah.
But this thing was so close to being like a computer. It had its separate monitor.
Oh, yeah.
It had the keyboard that's separate where you put the paper in and print from and stuff. It had a disk for clip art and everything else. You actually save things on a floppy disk. And for you kids out there, floppy disk is this little square thing that you would put into the computer and save it. It's the save icon.
Save icon. Yeah. Never forget.
Never forget. It ended up not being as easy to use. because it doesn't have the same functions as a computer, there are a lot of extra steps that you had to do. So you had to hit mode this, code this, in order to do all these things. But my grandma wanted to write her first part of her family history. She had collected all these stories and anecdotes and all these historical things regarding her family. And so I ended up going down there quite a bit to help her format everything. So after she passed, that was like the one thing I asked for.
Yeah.
I wanted to have it, and we got it up and running. I was able to find a website that sells the ink cartridges for it, and then Amazon, of all places, you could still buy floppy disks.
Oh, really?
On. And so we cranked that out. So I have designated that is what I'm using to make all the signs for the toy shows.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's fun, but I'm hoping to and I know you and I have talked about this before too, I'm hoping to start typing letters and sending them, you know, reaching out to family members or friends that I don't necessarily see all that often anymore, and just kind of doing that. But how did we get on that tangent?
I don't know, and I don't care, because I love hearing about the word processor.
Yeah, the word processor is awesome. So anywho, sorry, man. I think I stole that from
that's
you.
Fine, man. I love that word
typewriters
processor.
You were talking about typewriters.
I was typing essays about typewriters
on a typewriter. Yeah.
Well, we can do an essay about a word processor on a word processor.
Oh, there we go.
Or an essay about word processors on a typewriter, and an essay about typewriters on a word processor.
Oh, there we go. We've got it now.
And then we have to handwrite it with a feather pen.
Yes. Yes.
Translate it into German or something. So, I don't know.
Oh, and before I forget, there was a movie.
Okay, what was
the
movie?
We had seen. Madeline confirmed it for me. Me, her, Sharon, and my nephew went and saw Strangers, The Beginning.
Oh, how was that?
It was okay.
I mean, you forgot all about it. So
yeah,
that's...
it was... Look, it was... It had some scary parts, some jump scares, some moments. But it literally... It was like watching the first movie all over again.
Oh.
And... So I don't know if this was meant to be, it wasn't meant to be a prequel, because they had newer technology in this one. So maybe this was meant to be what, this is the beginning of their crime spree whatever after that. I don't know. It was all right. It wasn't, I mean, if you like the Stranger movies and you like horror, I mean, it's worth a watch, but I don't know that I'd ever watch it again.
Well,
I won't go out and search for it, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, there's only one way to know, and that's to live and learn.
You've got to do it. So, hey, it. How else?
I know of no other way.
You got to dip your toe in the water.
You got to dip that toe in.
Yeah, that's it. What other cliches can we come up with?
You got
no one to hold them. No one to fold them.
You gotta know when to fold them. That's something I learned.
You know what? Instead of watching Strangers the Beginning, watch Godzilla Minus One.
There you go.
Watch that instead.
Watch it twice.
We did rewatch just last night Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves. And I know we talked about that probably a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
Because the D&D group went and saw that together. Were you part of that group?
Yeah.
That movie's still great.
It's much better than I thought it would be.
It's such a fun watch. It really is. So, but speaking of D&D, I guess our group got together for the first time last week, and we started creating our characters for the upcoming Kingmaker campaign, and Pathfinder is what it is. So yeah, so we did that. I am going to be a fighter.
Yeah.
You are a swashbuckler.
I'm a swashbuckler.
Correct.
Choked on my emotion.
Kate decided to be a bard.
Oh.
Ethan is going to be a doctor/rogue or an inventor/ a doctor/rogue, I think.
Rogue Doctor.
Yeah, a Rogue Doctor. Josh is going to be a wizard. Fallon is going to be a witch.
Okay.
So that is where we're at.
I almost asked what John was going to be, but then I remembered he's God.
He's basically. God, yeah. He's running.
He's in God mode.
He's in God mode.
I don't know why.
But yeah, so it's really interesting, the online part. That's going to be neat to see. And I don't know, they probably won't hear the D&D episode before this comes out, right?
Not before this one comes out, but I was going to ask you when you want to release that one, because it's down the queue a little bit, a couple episodes, but I don't know if you want to just release it before.
Well, we should release it before, okay. Maybe.
Well, maybe we'll just make it. Well, no, if we make it this week's episode, then they'll hear it before this.
Yeah. Well, then we'll wait.
I don't care.
Doesn't matter. Whatever you want
to do. I'm rogue. I'm a rogue producer.
You guys are getting behind the scenes look at how we decide to put episodes up. It's exciting.
You
got to
pay for that kind of thing, usually.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to have to get a Patreon up or something. Jeez.
Oh, God.
Oh, no. But, yeah, so it's going to be really fun. So I think my character is complete. Several people still have to finish up. I think Fallon and I are the only two that are done.
Ooh la la.
So, yeah, this next visit's just going to be creating everything. But we have to decide what kind of kingdom we want to try for, because there's several
communist.
Different. There's all kinds of different kinds.
Is a communist an option?
I don't think it was.
I'm visibly disappointed, but this is a podcast, so you can't see it.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, I don't know. So that's something we have to talk about, because eventually we come to that point, and apparently we can even decide if we want to have an active part in running the government or not.
Ugh.
But if we don't, then it makes running the campaign not as fun, I guess.
Oh, wow.
So, things to think about.
You gotta do it for the campaign.
Yeah. So, anywho, that's...
I'm trying to read your can. Oh, it's a cherry.
It's a cherry Coke. Yeah.
Wow. Well, so, I think now we can talk about the big thing.
Yeah, let's do it.
We had a convention, a Comic-Con here in town.
Yes.
I think this is must be our 8th annual, because I think we've had one every year I worked at the library.
Minus COVID.
Right, so
you're
right. So this would be, we skipped 2 years, so this would probably be our 7th year.
Yeah, 7th, I think.
Because I'm going on 9 years at the library, so this must be our 7th year.
Yeah.
Wow, 7 years, because, you know, COVID ruined everything for everyone.
It did.
Except, you know, I was talking to somebody about COVID the other day, this is just a little tangent, and I was like, it was the worst time, but, like, if you're creative, it was actually kind of an interesting time, because you were like, I don't have anything to do. I guess I'll just do this creative stuff.
Right.
And, like, that's when I published Gordy, was because I finally had the money and I finally had all the time to put it together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, don't get me wrong, I would never go back to COVID times. But it was just like, I'm trapped indoors. If I don't do this, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
So that's kind of interesting.
It's, if I wouldn't have been working so many hours at my job because of COVID, I would have enjoyed that too.
I got laid off, so.
Yes, yeah. Unfortunately, several people did, so yeah. I mean, even Sharon got furloughed there for a while.
Yeah, well, that's right. I got furloughed. I didn't get laid off. I got furloughed. That's the term.
Yeah, so it was obviously miserable. So yeah, 2 years it killed for the mini-con. I'm happy to say that I was there for the first one, and I was there for the most recent ones, too. I think I had to take...
Yeah, you took a couple years
off. At least two, if not 3 years off, because of a job I had in the middle there that just wouldn't allow me to have Saturdays off.
No.
But yeah, they're a blast.
Yeah, so if you're not from the Marysville area, or if you're not from the Central Ohio area, we have a library-sponsored convention every year that we can. You know, obviously, like you said, we had 2 years off because of COVID, but... And it probably would have been 3 years, but then they moved them outside.
Yeah.
Which really helped with the everybody was kind of getting over the fear of being indoors, but not quite.
Yeah.
I mean, not indoors, but being close to each other, because we had gone through that whole distancing
social
thing.
Social distancing. And the Minicon had gotten so popular.
Yes, that's also true.
That, you know... The crowds were... It was rougher having it indoors.
Indoors, yeah. You cannot contain my baby.
Yeah. it's gotten very popular, which is great to see.
So it's a lot of fun. We always have a bunch of vendors. Sometimes we have panels. This year we did have panels, which was my friend Dalton ran all four panels. And actually, he did Nerd Jeopardy.
Nice.
And we played Nerd Jeopardy afterwards, because I wondered what he did. And he had a bunch of categories, and I didn't know a lot of them, but the Marvel and DC ones I smashed.
Nice.
And the DC one was probably the most interesting because it was anagrams. So he would give you a hint and then an anagram. And I was like, I was pulling him out of my hat. I was like, The first one was Justice League, but he had forgotten an L in the anagram. So I was like, I think it's Justice League, but you don't have an L, so it can't be Justice League. He's like, oh, I just left out the L.
Oh,
I was like, bro. He's like, yeah, I forgot the L. And then there was I forget the answers. I'll have to show them to you sometime. But he did four panels. And then there was a Smash Bros. Tournament inside.
Nice.
And then there was a bunch of us vendors outside. Unfortunately, there were fewer vendors than last year because several of them couldn't make it.
Yeah.
And
the heat played a big part in that,
too. The heat did. We were cooking.
Yeah.
In both financially, creatively, and temperaturally. Yeah. Is a word I just made up.
I like that word.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a little rough. Even though we had cover, it almost like you could feel the sun baking.
Yeah, it was really weird. Like, it was like, I don't know how it worked because we were under shade for the whole time, but it's like it didn't matter.
No.
I could feel myself getting red, like,
mm-hmm.
and like, I just was like, I'm going to have a heat stroke.
It was, yeah, fun. It was still fun, but
It was a lot of fun.
It definitely was a trying.
It was the dark night of the soul.
But let me the highlight, and I just get a kick out of this, because the reason I do what I do when for reselling the toys and having the I don't do it for income or to, you know, it's not a side hustle per se. I mean, obviously I try to make some money because I have to drive around and find this stuff, and I don't pay anyone, so I usually buy stuff for myself or whatnot is kind of a, oh, hey, you know, good job.
Yeah.
The biggest thrill is when someone finds something that they really want or love. And there was this little boy, he showed up, and I had bought these Warhammer figures, and they were huge, and they were articulating. They weren't, you know, miniatures for the Warhammer games. And they were both orcs, and they were just monstrous. And I bought them because at the last mini con, I had been asked a lot about anime stuff and Warhammer, and there's a couple other things. And I'm like, well, all right, so I'm going to find some anime stuff and some Warhammer stuff. And I found some anime pops, I found some anime figures, and then I found these Warhammer figures. And so I was expecting, you know, a certain group of people.
A certain type, yeah.
You know, the Warhammer type. Not to begrudge anyone.
Do you know what, though? Henry Cavill likes Warhammer. So.
Well, Henry Cavill does like Warhammer. But this little boy came, and I don't know, 5 years old, maybe?
If that,
you know, 4 or 5 years old, sees it and just goes absolutely nuts over it. He couldn't decide between that and the Unicron pop. I had a giant Unicron pop.
Yeah.
He ends up getting the Warhammer figure and just went bonkers over it. He was just, and him and his mom and sister, younger sister, hung around they hung around the whole day.
Yeah.
They were there from beginning to end. And he was just running around. He took it out of the box and he was just going around playing with it the whole day, telling everyone about his robot. Ends up coming up to me, gives me a big old hug because he loved his robot so much. And that is what's fun about these cons is when you can make someone that happy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great because you make personal connections with people, and when you're not, this is what's good about not being like a giant corporation, although if I could incorporate hotcakes, I would. Just kidding. But the good thing is you can make personal connections. You can sell to somebody who's going to look you in the eyes and be like, oh, this is... Like, for me, it's like, oh, this is something you made. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And you can talk to them about it. I had a couple kids that were like, really intrigued by Gordy and Night of the Slug, and then Detective Dandy wasn't as hot because I think the adults that were there, it seemed like a lot of adults with kids. It didn't seem like a lot of single adults.
Correct.
And so Dandy is a harder sell for kids because it's an adult chapter book. But I forget where I was going with that. But yeah, there was one kid that was like really excited about Gordy, and his mom was like, tell him about the book you're doing. And I always love to hear about that because I try to encourage kids to write and draw as much as possible, because that instinct gets beaten out of you a little bit to create, because it's like I think seen as a little frivolous after a while, because of just survival mode, which I begrudge of no one, but it's hard for me. Like, I wouldn't be able to function if I didn't create, because I would just be a husk of a man.
So
this convention lets you really get out there, and you know, obviously you have a passion for collectibles, toys, and comics, and you get to meet people who, like, was that girl, that teenage girl, looking for Lady Mechanica? Or
no, so she was looking for, she wanted comics,
yeah,
but she wanted something she'd never read before.
Oh.
And so she ended up asking me for recommendations. And so I was asking her, what's her favorite genre? Does she like strictly superhero? Yeah. Does she like horror? Does she like mystery? Does she like, you know, gritty crime, you know, or just silly stuff? And she said that she really likes fantasy. Mm-hmm. And not quite science fiction. She didn't really go that far, but she didn't mind science fiction. So I knew I had some of that Lady Mechanica, which is steampunk fantasy, right? And I've not read a ton of Lady Mechanica, but what I have read, I've enjoyed. And I'm like, and I knew I had some in there and I couldn't find it, but I ended up finding that elsewhere, which, if you didn't know what that is, it's kind of a what if, or it's an alternate history story where, Amelia Earhart didn't die in a plane crash. She landed in this like otherly realm or another dimension. And so then she's trying to, it's her and her co-pilot, and then they end up trying to help, you know, these people and stuff. It was a really neat story. And so found that for her, and she ended up taking that cause she loved the art, and the art is really good in it. So, but yeah, so that's the cool thing is, you know, she said that she really enjoys usually just superhero, but she likes fantasy. And then she had a friend who wanted Iron Man, which just blew me away. But she wanted some Iron Man comics. Unfortunately, I didn't have any of the Iron Man comics with me. I've got some downstairs, but not a ton. So most of my Iron Man appearances are in all the Avengers stores. But she wanted specifically Iron Man, which I think is awesome. Yeah. You know, it's so it's just, it's other things like that. It's like, okay, now I know what I want to try to look for, because it's, I don't know if it's still a byproduct of all the Marvel movies, and so they see their parents enjoying this stuff, and now they're checking it out, and they're digging it, or an older sibling, whatnot. But yeah, so really cool. They were around for the convention quite a bit, too. But yeah, it's just, when you make those connections, and those are connections we've made on the other end too, right? When we've gone to shows,
yes, for sure.
And you know, you see the same vendors, but you also end up seeing the same customers you run into.
Yeah.
And so you know, there's a few that I've seen at shows continuously, and so we may not remember each other's name, but it's like, oh, hey, you're that girl that loves the horror comics and loves Ghost Rider and all of that stuff. So I mean, That's what's neat about those. And I love it when you've got the parent and the child and they're both looking at the same stuff.
Yeah.
And trying to find, it's not just the kid trying to find a toy. It's a parent going, oh my gosh, I had a bunch of He-Man figures and I've been holding on to them for a while. They were duplicates and you know, again, because I'm not trying to get rich off of this, after something sat around for a while, from show to show to show to show, I just slash the prices. And it's like, let's just move on and buy something else. And so I had a dollar on all those He-Man figures. And this dude who's probably a little bit younger than me, but he just looked at me and I told him, yeah, everything in there is a dollar. And he's like, shut up. And it was so funny because he goes, I don't have any cash on me. I'm like, well, I take card. And he goes, well, let me go talk to my wife. So he literally went over to talk to his wife, seeing if he could get some money to buy the He-Man. He's the one who bought the rest of the tote.
Oh, yeah.
He just bought the rest of the tote. So there was a few Batman things in there, and there were some other little mini Funko Pop type things. And so, yeah, it was, I mean, that's fun stuff.
Well, you know what I wanted to talk about was the miracle. I don't know if I want to classify this as a miracle, but an outlier. You sold all your ducks.
Yes.
Which I've never seen those move before.
I have not. I think I have had those ducks. I'd have to ask my buddy Steve, but I mean, I've had them. Those were original things that were his.
Gen 1.
Those were Gen 1 of when I restarted up going to toy shows. So 5 years now? Something like that?
Something like that.
Because it was pre-COVID when I started doing the toy shows again. And I've had those stinking ducks. Sorry, Steve. At every show since then, and I think I've sold maybe 3 or 4 of them.
Yeah.
And we've had 2 cases of them.
Yep.
And so yesterday again, it was one of those things where I just said, I can't keep carrying these ducks everywhere. Made them $2, buy one get one free, and sold all of them.
Yeah.
It was, oh my God, it was great. A
beautiful thing to watch.
It was.
Because it was the same people.
It was the same people that kept coming back. It was great. It was fantastic. But see, that's what's awesome about it is just, you know, and maybe they felt bad because the one guy's like, well, you know, I'm like, take them all. Buy them all right now. Let's go. Let's make a price. Oh my gosh. Let's make a deal. So yeah, I mean, they ended up, one of the kids that was with that group, they had their ducks out of the container. They were playing with them on the splash pad. It was fantastic. So, yeah, that's, believe me, that Marysville Toy Show, which is September 29th at the Union County Fairgrounds, I'm going to have a lot of my action figures are going to be slashed. I want to refresh.
Yeah.
I don't like having the same thing over and over and over again because I'm also that customer that when I go to the tables and I recognize the vendors, and then I look through their stuff, and I'm like, well, I saw this 3 shows ago. Yeah, it's like, oh,
yeah.
I saw these 3 shows ago, man. You don't have anything else?
Yeah.
And look, I get it. I mean, but I also only do shows 2 or 3 times a year, so.
See, that's where it gets difficult for me, because, like, right now, in between books, like, publishing new books, so, like, most of the people who really follow me already have everything I have to put out.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously, like, you're a person that has everything that I've ever done.
Yeah.
And, like, so it's, like, it's really hard when you're doing creating stuff, because it's, like, well, what did I have now that I didn't have last year? Which Dandy was the only thing I really had this year but I had a book release party for Dandy.
Yeah.
So everybody who was already going to get Dandy already had Dandy.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting.
Well, you know, I was talking to, and I always forget his name. Is it Clay? Something Clay?
No, that's not. Oh, yeah, Derek.
Derek
Clay.
He, I got the chance to talk to him. So he's, if we've ever shown pictures, he drew this print. It's one of my favorite prints. Yeah. It's up in the loft. It's a Swamp Thing, picture. But he also wrote a book, and I can't remember the
name. Battle of the Celestials, right? Or are you talking about something else?
Is that what it is?
Battle of the Celestials? He didn't write Battle of the Celestials. He drew Battle of the Celestials.
He drew it, yes.
Kevin Murphy wrote it.
Yes. I think that's it. Where there's kind of that time travel it's not time travel.
No, it's more of like a fantasy.
Yes, yes.
Sword and sorcery kind
of. Yes, that one. I was talking with him, asking him when book 2 was coming out. And, you know, and there may not be one. And we were sitting there talking, and he was discussing how it took 5 years to get that one book out. And when you're an independent person like that, and everyone has full-time jobs, and the cost of, I mean, printing everything together, it's difficult. And so we were talking about that artist we met at Gem City, Pigbone Comics, and how he's just now putting out stuff for book 2.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, that was almost 5 years ago when we first met him. And so it's tough to constantly put all that new stuff out. Probably easier when it's prose versus art.
It depends because, well, I'm the wrong guy to ask because my art is not as detailed as Derek's.
Sure.
My art is like, boom, I can put out a new strip every day.
Yes, correct.
Prose, though, I mean, it took 4 or 5 years to collect D&D.
That's true.
Because I wasn't doing it every month or something. I would just put out whenever.
That's true.
So it just depends on the length and the depth of the work that you're doing. It's definitely, I will say, I don't know. I don't know if it's harder to write or draw. For me, it's harder to draw because I'm more of a writer.
Mm-hmm.
So it is, when you're doing something that's a comic that's a visual medium, it's really tough.
Yeah.
But it just depends on what you're doing because, like, if I was going to put out, like, a volume, like, Don Quixote sized, I would be like, no, that is going to take me 10 years.
Yeah.
You know? So it just depends on, and it also depends on, like, where my mania is at the moment. Like, if I'm, like, manic, then I'm cranking it out.
Yeah.
I'm like, bah, 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 boom, I've got a book out.
Sure.
I'm like, mania for me is like cocaine. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, I can't believe I just said that. Oh my God. I've never done cocaine, so I don't know what it's like, but just.
And I agreed like I knew what it was like too. Yeah. No. I understand the metaphor.
This is a cocaine-free show.
Yes. Just say no, kids.
Stay woke, don't do coke.
Yes.
Oh no.
Our show's gone woke. Oh man.
But so it is hard, but the thing is I like for people to see the stuff I have out there because I don't just want to sell stuff, I want to inspire people to create stuff.
Absolutely.
Because in a small town like this, you don't have a lot of people who are out there putting together stuff.
Oh no.
I don't even know if this is that small of a town anymore, but...
Well, relatively speaking,
it's
right?
It's not Columbus-sized, let's just say that.
Yeah, it's not Columbus, but yeah, it's not what it used to be either.
And it's not Columbus in the terms of there's a whole community of creators either. Like, I feel very like there isn't a lot of people that get together. There's a handful because I invite them to the show, but there's not like, we don't have like a central community like Columbus does.
No, and that's why I think it would be cool... if we could take a page from Mr. Nino's book and do...
Like a meetup.
Yeah. You know, see if we could get one of the local businesses to be okay with us.
That's a great idea.
Just showing up saying, hey, we don't know who's all going to be here.
Like, we have a Panera in town.
We do
have
a Panera.
That's where we meet with Nino.
Why not?
Yeah.
They have Wi-Fi there. They have...
Soup.
They have soup. They've got a bigger space.
Soup du jour.
And they're not super loud.
No.
So you could have the conversations.
Yeah.
Even if it was just, you know, first few times, just feeling everyone out, you know, hey, you know, what kind of stuff do you like to work on? What kind of stuff do you do? And then you know, obviously we'd allow, anomalies like me who don't really create all that much.
You're an idea man.
I can be helpful in helping propel
the
ideas.
You're very good with, bouncing ideas off of. I can give that testimony right now. Like, half the stuff that I probably have created has been, like, terrible, terrible, terrible. Just throwing it at you, like, throwing the ideas at you, and we just muck through it, so.
But I enjoy that. I enjoy that.
It's an essential part of the process.
So, but yeah, so I think there could really be a good need for that.
Yeah,
just a matter of getting the word out
there,
putting the feelers out.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I should work on that.
So, but, but yeah, it that's what I love. That's why I love the Gem City Con, because you still have the tables of all the goods and stuff.
Yeah.
But there's no, it's a true con in the sense that they're celebrating the medium. You know, they have the artist rows where you're just going up and down and meeting the people who have drawn or written for different various, you know, outlets, or they're independent.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about those places. I mean, that's how we come to know Mr. Nino, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's because I'm enthralled with the creative process, especially since I don't do it all that much. I write stuff, but I don't sit down and make myself do things.
Yeah.
And so it's more just kind of a hobby per se, maybe. Whereas, you know, with you, like you said, it's your life.
This is how I describe it, because I saw this on the internet once. I say, writing is my passion, eating is a hobby, sleeping is a hobby, and breathing is a hobby. That's how I've always... I heard that once on the internet, and I was like, I'm going to take that.
Yeah, there we go. But yeah, so it's... We'll have to look into that.
Yeah, definitely. But, you know, so I thought it was a pretty good year, the heat aside.
Yeah.
Everybody was really cool. Everybody was really gracious. And that's what I like about indie artists and stuff, is they're just like me. I'm like, I'm just happy to be here, you know? So.
Oh, yeah.
And
Who's the artist two tables down from us?
Anna Virago. She was from Space. The twins met her.
Oh, okay. Because I bought one of her books.
Anna Vigorito.
Okay, yeah. So, was that her first year?
Here, the con? Yeah.
Okay. Because I wish I could have bought more of her books.
Yeah.
So hopefully I see her around at other shows, so I could pick them up. Love the idea of all of them and the art in them. I ended up getting the one that is a standalone original work. And I don't have it up here with me to read the title. I should have brought that up with me. But yeah, that's what I love. And then of course the twins, I love their keychains. So I got the Swamp Man, keychain this time. Cause I already have the Mothman. So that was the other one where the person got really excited. I had that Mothman figure in the tub, and Anita gave them the dollar so they could buy it. Oh my gosh, that was just amazing.
Yeah, that was nice.
They were so stoked to have a Mothman figure. That was great.
Yeah, they squealed.
They did squeal. It was fantastic. But yeah, it was a good way to end the month.
Yeah.
Although I guess technically it's not over, but
it's over enough.
It's over enough. I'm on vacation.
We have 1 week left.
Yeah. Going to do some golfing. And we're going to finally take most of the family to Theo's to enjoy their food and pies. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. I think we're going to go to Cincinnati for a day, too.
Nice.
So, what about you? Anything else the rest of this month? By the time this goes out, will you have done anything else?
Probably
fun?
Not. I'm just going to be plotting.
Just plotting.
My novels.
Like yep.
I want to do, I don't know if I said this earlier, but I told you, obviously, you know this, but I really want to try a full-length Detective Dandy novel.
Mm-hmm.
Because in my mind, I'm like, Hercule Poirot had short stories, but he also had a lot of novels, and Hercule Poirot is such a big influence on me. And then, like, obviously, Kolchak had that novel.
Yeah.
He's got several collections of stories and stuff, so.
I believe there was even a comic book mini run.
Yeah, he's had comics and prose, and so maybe I'll spend the next week just plotting that out and seeing where that goes, but...
Very good.
I'm gonna try and take it easy, because I had too much fun yesterday.
Yeah, it was...
I was cooked alive, and I stayed up till about midnight, and I was just like...
Well, Daryl Singletary once said, I ain't never had too much fun.
That's true, but
here's your obscure 90s country reference.
Yeah, but that's where Daryl and I part ways, because I have had too much fun.
You've had too much... You're done peopling for a while?
For just a bit. I'm going to crawl into my cave.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I'm going to crawl back into the cave.
Well, hopefully, so the next month we'll talk about the campaign. The campaign, Pathfinder, should be well in hand by the time we talk again.
Yeah.
What episodes do we have coming up?
I'll tell you. We should do the D&D... special.
Yeah, we'll do a D&D special. So that one includes everyone that was in our campaign. And so that was fun recording.
We got the sci-fi, just regular sci-fi.
Just sci-fi, yep, okay.
And He-Man.
Oh, we did, that's right, we did the He-Man.
The Masters of the Universe.
We're going to be recording a British TV episode soon. So that'll be fun. So that'll probably come out more like August or something. Yeah.
I almost forgot.
Oh, okay.
I told you this yesterday, but we cannot end the podcast before we wish a happy birthday to Bruce Campbell.
Yes, yes, you are correct.
Yeah, that would have been a huge oversight on our part.
Because we do have a... Have we released that yet?
I can't remember.
I don't think we've released The World of Bruce Campbell yet. So we actually have an episode where we've... Have we released that
I one? Think... No, we have not.
Okay, so that's another upcoming one, is The World of Bruce Campbell. So we're obviously both huge Evil Dead fans.
I'm such a big fan of Bruce Campbell. I was born on the same day as
him. Exactly, so... Bruce, we're sorry we didn't send out the singing birthday telegram. We'll make sure we get that next year. But, yeah, friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show. But, yeah, that was a good month. June was a good month. July will be hopefully even better.
Let's hope.
And we look forward to seeing you guys down the road. Thank you so much for joining us. And, as always, stay nerdy.